Most adults can tell you a similar story or two. Every town has its tragic stories about kids who died too young because somebody drove drunk. Most adults, if they're honest, will also tell you that they did stupid things when they were drunk or stoned, like getting behind the wheel of a car or riding along even though they knew the driver was drunk. Like I said, they'll tell you if they're being honest. But most adults won't be honest, and you can't really blame us. We worry that you'll hear our stories and you'll reason it this way. Mom and Dad just admitted that they got drunk a bunch of times and did things they weren't proud of, so they can't get mad at me for drinking or smoking pot or whatever, because then they'd be hypocrites. We worry that if we're honest, you'll take it as a big green light to go out and do the same dumb things we did. We're not so much worried that you'll show the same stupidity we did, we're afraid you won't have the same dumb luck that we had. We don't want you to be the story people tell their kids to convince them not to drink. Somewhere between being laughed at and dying in a car wreck are the other dangers of drinking and drugs, the ones that you're much more likely to face. They're the things that cause the scars you can't see, the ones most people don't want to talk about. Junior and senior years of high school, the best parties were found at my friend Steve's. We all figured the FBI had his folks hidden away in the witness protection program because they were never around. His house was high school heaven. No parents, great stereo, lots of rooms, and a kitchen table big enough for 8 people to play this beer drinking game you've never heard of called Quarters. Steve had only 2 rules on party nights. Nobody changed the music but him, since he played almost nothing but Bruce Springsteen, that was fine by me. And people had to come in carpools with what we would eventually call a designated driver. Whoever drove couldn't drink. One of the bigger jerks at Darien High School challenged Steve on that, and Steve argued it this way. If some idiot wrecks his car and the cops find out where he was, I'll never be able to have another party again. The jerk shut up. Hard to argue with logic. So this one night in May, just before the end of junior year, I get to Steve's house to find more cars than I've ever seen in his driveway. The quarters table is packed, and there are a good dozen people waiting to jump into the game. In the living room, there's a lot more drinking going on, and I immediately notice 2 strange things. First, there are 3 people that I know and don't really like, dressed like they're mobsters out of the 1930s. Fedoras, pinstriped suits, wide ties, the whole thing. Only last I'd heard, this wasn't a costume party. They're sort of off by themselves, looking around the room and whispering to each other, like they've got some big inside joke. The other thing I notice is Donna. I don't think I'd ever seen her at one of Steve's parties. She's always been shy and kind of serious. This isn't her crowd. And yet here she is, and she's talking to 2 pretty popular guys. You'd almost think they're fighting over her. I see one of them, Russell, hand her a refill on her drink. Looks like orange juice, so I'm guessing she's drinking a screwdriver, which is OJ mixed with vodka. Big gulp sized. While Steve and I scream along with Bruce's Rosalita, Donna goes upstairs with Russell. When they come back down a little while later, Russell heads into the kitchen to play quarters, and Brian, the other guy she'd been talking to earlier, hands her another giant drink. She takes it, and the 2 girls and a guy playing dress-up start whispering to each other. One of them goes into the kitchen. Here's what I found out about a half hour later, after I see Donna being led back upstairs, this time by Brian. The 3 mobsters aren't trying to be mobsters at all. They're dressed as old-time gamblers. The pieces of paper stuck into the brims of their hats are meant to look like betting slips from a racetrack. They've made this a theme party, and the theme is the Donna Derby. How it works is simple. Russell and Brian are having a contest to see who can get the furthest with Donna sexually. They think this is a worthy challenge because Donna's not just a virgin, she's never gone past kissing anyone, and she's only done that a couple of times. Each wants to prove that he's the bigger stud.